What's going on, everyone out there? This is Marlon from Fishing Addicts Northwest, and we have been getting asked and asked and asked and asked for the longest time to do a podcast. So here we are. We got Lucas Holmgren, Cameron Black, Jerry Scheip in the studio today. This is our first Addicted podcast that we've done, but I think there's going to be a lot more to come. What do you think?
Absolutely, and we're going to get other guests in here and other people as well, and it's going to be a dang good time, I guess.
Yes, it will be. Lucas, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Addicted podcast is kind of set to cover all things fishing. Going to be getting into a lot of different subject matter, and we really welcome your input. We'd like you to go ahead and visit the Fishing Addicts Facebook page and just share your thoughts, you know, on our page or in our Facebook group, Fishing Addicts Northwest.
Yeah, we have a page and a closed group. It's kind of nice in the closed group because you can really interact with a lot of the different anglers from different regions. So if you're wanting a network, that's a great place to go. But we're also going to be kind of raging on a few of those people in the group, I think.
Oh, I've been waiting for this moment for a while. I got to be Mr. Nice Wild Fishing Addicts Northwest there. But I tell you what, this should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you guys might get a little bit of unfiltered fishing addicts in this podcast. So stay tuned. It should be fun.
But, you know, keep in mind that this whole thing is just based on, you know, what your guys' questions and comments and what you guys have wanted to see. So, you know, this podcast here is going to be just a direct outcome of what you guys have been asking for. So we're going to try to put this together. Like I said, lots of guests, lots of people, some little behind the scenes stuff that kind of goes on with Fishing Addicts Northwest.
Yeah, you'll definitely get some behind the scenes stuff here. I think that this is where we should start doing a lot of that stuff just to get people excited about this podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of new things here for 2017 Fishing Addicts. We got a couple new products out. Marlon, you want to go ahead and talk about a couple of those?
Lots of new stuff coming I'm excited about. You know, we started out with doing the scent thing. Cameron and Jason Hambly, honestly, it was their idea out the gate to kind of do this scent thing. And so we started with the Addicted Steelhead Blend. And that was a tried and true scent that Cameron has been using for 12 years on the Columbia River. So we knew it was going to be successful. So we launched that first. And with the success of that, we thought, well, man, maybe we should put the salmon one out that we've been using for a long time, too. So we got with TJ Hester from the East Side, and Cameron and him kind of put together their blends and came up with another thing that was deadly. Tell some stories about that salmon blend out there.
Oh man, that thing dominated. But you know, it's kind of cool because, like, you know, a lot of people don't understand is there's a time and place kind of for everything. You know, there's time and place that people use chemicals for different reactions from fish. There's time and place they use different oil-based scents or food-based scents. We'll call it food-based scents.
Also, if you don't believe in scent, just go ahead and unfollow Fishing Addicts.
You might as well quit right now, because if you don't believe in scent, that means all egg cures are the same too, and anybody who's been fishing around the Northwest long enough has been to that day where they watched the one guy catch 30 fish in the hole while the other 10 guys caught two.
Exactly. And you know what? I get pretty excited. Yeah. Like, I saw a thread the other day in the Fishing Addicts group. Dudes were like, oh yeah, I don't use scent. I never use scent. And I was just like, that's fine. Cool, dude. I'm going to catch 20 more fish than you then.
That's why scent. That's why fish get caught behind people going down the river and stuff like that. But anyways, there's time and place and everything for scent. And, you know, that scent was not really catered to more of an estuary scent, but was more towards a traveling fish that has left the estuary and is in the Columbia River. I mean, in the Columbia River, anywhere from, you know, Astoria all the way up to the Hanford Reach.
And we're not saying it's not going to work on, you know, estuary fish, because we did hear stories where it did.
Yep.
We just didn't design. I mean, we'll just tell you guys right out the gate, it has krill in it. So krill... What, name a fish that doesn't like krill, and that's the only ingredient you'll ever get to know that's in there. But
there's also chemicals in there too, and there's those chemicals trigger those biting responses to fish that are away from their food sources in their ocean. So there's some chemicals in there too, and there's some combinations of scents.
Exactly.
I still can't believe you at least told that. Someone's going to kill you, not me. But anyway, that's what that was kind of catered to. And so, yeah, people did have success with it up in the Tribs. But that specific salmon blend is supposed to be targeting fish that are fresh arrivals, but that are moving. They're not to their staging areas yet. They're traveling. They're migrating fish. And I mean, people dominated on that. That's pretty cool.
It was pretty incredible what it did.
But I mean, at the same time too, you know, when we launched the Steelhead Blend, which is my own personal blend that I've used for lots of years on the Columbia, I mean, when we put that thing out, people took a hold of that and had a lot of success with it. So I think when we launched another quality,
exactly,
another quality component. Now, yeah, I mean, come on, let's be honest. A million fish have been caught in that Columbia without it. But in this day and age, when, you know, our fisheries are becoming a little more contrite, a little smaller, they're getting a little more crowded, you know, we'll, and I'm sure we'll talk about it a million times here. You got to have the extra 5%.
Yep.
Got to have something a little bit different. Everybody out there running Pro Trolls and Super Baits and doing this and doing that, you got to have something different.
But
yeah, there was a lot of guys that bought Salmon Blend, but not everybody did.
Nope.
It made the difference this year, for sure.
Oh, it did. Yeah. I mean, then we've had story after story after story about the difference that it made for certain anglers.
You know, and we all tested it with, you know, tuna with it and tuna without.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and one thing that was weird too, and maybe this is me shooting myself in the foot, but we're going to be real about this here. I had a lot of success with it in the end of August and the month of September. But once those temperatures kind of cooled down a little bit into October and we started selling out, I'm going to just straight up say it, I did not notice that it was actually outproducing just other stuff, like where it was kind of hitting its peak.
Yeah.
Was still when the Columbia was still at that 70 to 72 degrees. And then once that temperature kind of cooled down, and maybe it's just the reaction with the chemicals and the blend, but like as we got into that mid-October and as things kind of cooled down, it kind of cooled that scent down enough. I mean, we still caught fish on it, and we still caught fish.
Oh, I was still using it all the way through.
Oh, and it was still working, but what would be every day, I mean, and when I say every day, every single day when I was out there, I would run, you know, I'd run three or four rods with it and, you know, three or four rods without, and I would notice that, yeah, you're right, it was working really well, but as it got a little later, it kind of evened out. But I mean, that's just being real about it. So,
Where I was trying to go with that, guys, is so we started making these scents, and then me and Cameron really started talking, and we thought, let's start just developing products in all categories that we use, that we test, that we know and love, that we can help other anglers with, and just incorporate it into our education, and really put out quality products that are tested and that we know are good.
And the biggest thing is the testing. No gimmicks.
Yeah. No gimmicks.
No gimmicks here.
No gimmicks at all. So we are coming out with a float that we're designing with Hawken.
Yep.
It will be the first fixed float on the market that comes with its own weight system, meaning you can adjust by adding weight or taking weight away to make the float just money.
I am so excited for that.
Yeah, I am too.
You're going to be able to dial it in.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Oh, well.
So sure. if you're wanting to fish a 132nd ounce jig, a 164th, just add a little bit more weight. You go into a 1/8, or maybe you're going to fish a 1/4 ounce. Take all the weight off.
Yeah.
It's going to be the perfect fixed float, versatile in any conditions.
And even those guys that want to fish just like a single bead, like, you know, they need to go stealthy conditions, a single bead with maybe a tiny, tiny, tiny little split shot. This is going to be the stuff for you because the float's still going to be weighted. And so you're still going to be able to cast that light presentation out there. You're going to be able to sail it across the river. You're not going to have to use the sliding leads and anything like that with the sliding bobbers.
And you're not going to have to wait out in the middle of the river either.
Exactly, and scare fish away.
Yep.
No. What else? What else we got? Are we going to talk about that other cool little thing that I'm trying to tease Marlin into this here a little bit? But
no, I think we're going to wait on that.
Really?
Yep. It's coming. That's going to come.
Sorry, guys. Podcast number
awesome.
Two.
It's going to be awesome. Go follow us on Fishing Addicts Northwest on Facebook, and you'll be able to see that next product that we're talking about.
Yeah. You already dropped a hint, though, didn't you?
I did. I dropped a hint. I did drop a hint.
Mm-hmm. And for the, yeah.
Oh, the picture.
Yep.
Yeah.
The picture. Go to Fishing Addicts Northwest on Facebook, and you'll do a little digging, and you'll see a really, really cool product that we're working on. It was actually Lonnie Brooks' idea to bring this into motion. So
now, is he going to brand himself with that?
Oh.
I mean, it's a brand, right? So we can talk.
I think we're, you know, if you want to be in Fishing Addicts from now on, you got to have the brand.
How about if you get a brand and this product free?
Yes.
You get it for free. Someone brands their left butt cheek with a freaking and they get iron brand.
And they get a free product.
And we'll give you
just get a treble hook in the face.
I don't know about that. Oh, man.
We have some new apparel options out now. In the winter chrome series, actually, to go along with the new scent.
Yeah, what's cool is this year we just decided to focus more on the fishing tackle and kind of basically what I did was I partnered with a buddy, H&H Outfitters, those guys over that make all the steelhead gear, and they're going to really be trying to take the Addicted brand into a new time zone. So it's going to be cool. They're going to be coming out with lots of cool new artwork, new hats, new everything. I'm super excited about that. Yeah. Yep. And we already have a few out. So
yeah.
And it's a great local company.
Exactly. Absolutely. They're a local, out of Forest Grove, Oregon. Awesome company to work with.
They're going to have a lot of stuff prepared for us for the sportsman show.
Exactly.
February too. So
I'm going to max out my credit card with apparel.
Yes. Portland sportsman show.
We're going to have four booths to fill. So yeah, we're going to be
impressed there. What's the dates on that?
Oh, it's, the Portland sportsman show. I want to say the 9th through the 13th, somewhere in there. It's always about it seems to always be about the second week of February.
Okay. So,
yeah.
But like you said, with the winter chrome blend too, you forgot to mention the winter chrome scent.
Yeah,
as far as another new product, that's just
the water soluble. So, yeah, talked about
the salmon blend and steelhead blend, and basically, you know, because of what people have asked us and requested us and have mentioned on Facebook and private messaged us, just like this podcast here, people always water soluble. Where's the water soluble? Where's the water? For those of you guys who don't know, the water soluble scent is something that you can put on your jigs. You can put on your flies if you're not one of those guys who wouldn't do such a thing. Send your fly, but there's guys who've already asked. And you can put it on basically that kind of stuff where a really sticky gel or an oil would ruin it.
Ruin the material.
And so people and obviously steelhead season, a lot of guys like to use jigs.
The nice thing too is Procure, they have a good selection of water soluble. So if you're going to pick up the Addicted, check out their, because they got shrimp and krill. And
they got all the good stuff. But, But people wanted our steelhead formula. So we did a little bit of tweaking on it, and then we tested it out on a lot of summers. And now we're already finding success with it this season. I totally screwed that up.
Oh, my gosh. Learn how to talk. There?
I'm just going to keep going. but either way, we've already found success with it this season. And since you're into letting out parts of the formula right now, I might as well let out this little piece too.
Nope.
Don't do it.
Pretty much the steelhead blend.
The winter chrome blend has...
Has egg in it. It turned the stuff pink. Anybody could look at that.
Yeah.
So we've taken the same steelhead blend that's really good for fresh arriving summer steelhead in the Columbia that people had just scores of success with, and we've just added egg to it to get a good tributary formula. And this way, for fresh arriving fish, we don't tend to fish the Columbias too much. We don't tend to fish a lot of the bigger water. We tend to like a lot of fish the tributaries. Well, guess what? I don't know a dang steelhead in a tributary that can pass up beta eggs.
No, so absolutely. I mean,
especially winter fish.
Especially winter fish.
And we did it in the water soluble and the sticky sauce.
And the sticky sauce for the guys that want to run beads and have a beads colored and gel.
Worms.
Beads and worms. Yeah.
How is it on plugs?
Same thing.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. Absolutely. So
the Procure makes a gel, but it's not very. It's not very pretty. I mean, it is just the nuts and bolts of that scent. It's the binding agent, and then it's
when
like
you put
fish.
It on there, it's like you gotta pretty much pour acid on it to get it off.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, it's
and on your fingers. It's on your fingers the whole trip.
You use garlic sticky gel.
It's
is terrible. You might as well just take a shower.
But it is that strong, and it's not.
But
colored.
It works good.
It works very good. Yeah. Quick fish plugs, all that good stuff. But at the same time, though. We have that sticky sauce. They color it. It's a little bit more, we'll call it user-friendly, and it's real quick and easy for putting onto your beads and worms and stuff like that, too. So they've come out with that. And I've already found a couple times, there's been a couple situations where I've had clients, and we've gone to a hole, and the first cast through with a peachy pearl worm, we missed a bite. And I watched the bobber go down. There's no way on the bob. It's like, darn it. And we worked that hole for about 10 minutes, and I said, okay, bring that in. And we laced that peachy pearl worm up with the sticky sauce, threw it out there, and it was like bingo. I mean, insta-fished it. I've seen that time, and then there was another time where almost the exact same situation where we had a couple bites in the hole, and just before we left, I said, you know what, to heck with it. We're going to run it again. And the lady sitting in front of my boat drops her bobber out the front of the raft to drop a bomb on the steelhead, and it went like 10 feet and got another one. So I've seen it happen twice now, and it's the same lures.
That's
awesome.
The
same spot. It's the same presentation. This is not the time of year. The conditions weren't so much where fish were pouring in and pouring out of the hole. The conditions were low. They were probably pretty stagnant where they're sitting. So I know we were fishing on the same fish.
We did some scouting this weekend, and I came to finally a perfect hole with a red pearl. Cast after cast, nothing. First cast with the scent, bobber down.
You missed him, though.
No, I got it in.
Oh, was that little summer that you got? Nice, nice, nice.
Heck yeah.
I don't know. It...
Well, I mean, and truth be told, oh, I got a good one. But we tip our jigs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We use a lot of bait. I mean, whenever you can, it's that extra little 5%. But, man, I got a little story for you. So one thing, you know, when it comes to these scents and these sticky liquids and stuff like that, I took a guy fishing out there today, and he's a hardcore Addicts fan. I'm not going to mention his name here because I don't want him to come back and be like, what the heck, man? But hardcore Addicts fan, right? Gets in the boat, and we're sitting there prepping the gear, and I'm cutting up some bits of prawn, and I'm setting them on the cooler. And he goes, and he'd fished the river the day before. His brother was in from Arizona, and he'd fished the river the day before, and then they didn't get anything. They saw fish, but nothing too much. And truth be told, fishing isn't that great. Well, anyway, so he's sitting there. I'm cutting the prawns up, and he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah, I hear you and Marlon, you guys do that all the time. Do that all the time. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it never hurts to have a little extra, you know, scent on your jig, a little water salt, a little something, something extra. And I go, oh, yeah, have you ever done it? He goes, no.
Exactly.
He goes, nope, exactly. Never tried it. And I go, well, guess what, buddy? You are going to be fishing that all day today. The water's cold. The water's clear. I want every little enticing thought that goes through that little fish's brain to go attack that jig.
I learned that from Monty Theory. He was one of my really good buddies that used to guide back in the day, and he basically said that same thing. When that water's cold, that's why the little tiny, those guys that center pin those little tiny bits of eggs, spawn sacks, mm-hmm. When that water's cold, that's how you can get those steelhead to move for a bait, is if you got a little chunk of meat on there.
It's on the Fishing Addicts Northwest main page. And we brought this guest in, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tell you guys that, but 80% of you guys ain't going to go out there and do it.
Exactly.
You ain't going to take that extra 5%. Well, I can tell you what, today, took him and his brother down the river. Long story short, we ended up hooking 4 fish, got his brother his first steelhead ever. It was a toad. It was about 13, 14 pound hatchery, bonk.
Nice.
All on prawn jigs, and he was just ecstatic.
So well, awesome. A funny story, like you say that, Robert Kratzer, so... When we're watching that feed, we're all sitting there mind blown, right, about all these things he's telling us. Well, one of the things he'd mentioned was the squid. And so I'm like, oh, I'm doing that every time I go. I never bought squid one time and twitched squid.
Not one piece of squid was used by Marlin the whole season.
Why would we have not have done that instantly?
I have no idea.
It's like your buddy there. He knows you're using prawn.
Yeah.
But yet he's not going to do it.
Well, it's weird. He's going to do it now that he's seen it. And you know, the other thing too.
Well, you get comfortable. You get real comfortable in what you're doing. And you got to learn to just morph and change with what's working.
And to even touch back on that Robert Kratzer thing just one more time. You know, he was a big proponent of using the hoochie jigs and the squid jigs. And I've used them before for a few years, just in the few years that we've been twitching kind of down in the Southwest Washington area. And I've used them and I've caught fish them. Didn't have a lot of confidence in them. And we had, I can't mention river names, but we had some insane fishing out of the sled. I did 3 boatloads one day when the water came up. Awesome fishing. And then it just shut off. But those fish didn't go anywhere. They were still there. And then one day, I'll tell you what, they only wanted those big bodied hoochie jigs like you wouldn't believe. And it's like, you know what? It just kind of makes you kind of go, man, why didn't I do this for like the last like 5 years? I've known about it.
Same with exactly. me.
Just saying, yeah. You got to be pushed into doing that. You can't get comfortable. You just can't.
Remember last year,
it was a difference maker.
I've never fished with him before, but he hoochied the whole trip and blew us out of the water.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Like, really? Why do I have none on me?
I know.
All I can say is that next day I do remember going up to Bob's Sporting Goods and I bought every single P-line 4.5-inch hoochie off the racks. And then we caught fish the rest of the season. It's awesome. Don't Killer. Get comfortable. Keep fishing.
For sure. What do we got next? Lucas, what else should we cover? What else do you think we should cover every week during these podcasts? What do you think the people want to hear about?
Well, I've been talking to a couple different anglers, you know, just about some of the subject matter in general. And one kind of recurring theme is getting into the science of the fish, you know, that we're chasing, really getting to know the fish. A lot of times we're talking techniques, which is great, you know, how to optimize your program. But, you know, maybe you guys could cover a little bit about, you know, steelhead movement and run timing and behavior of steelhead and kind of the difference, you know, between ocean maturing and stream maturing, you know, winter, summer, spring, fall, steelhead in general.
So just get real nerdy on it.
Yeah,
so
that ain't just,
gonna,
just,
I'm not very good at that. That's going to be this guy right here. He worked for Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, so he knows. Oh, he knows all about it.
I do not know all about it. That is an ever-evolving subject, and it seems to be about every 8 years there's a whole other management plan that involves either some kind of parental genetics or some genetics and trying to figure out this and that. And wild fish, what's the word I'm looking for, when they close the gene bank.
Yeah, the gene bank.
We had the Northwest Anglers Convention this weekend. And, you know, after listening to the Northwest Steelheader guys talking, I mean, you might see it here in a day or two.
Which, by the way, two guys came up and shook my hand for saying that, what I said to that Northwest Steelheaders guy about that hatchery and wild thing and how I kind of lit into him a little bit.
Well, I mean, let's not get into that. Anyways, but the bottom line is I almost wanted to post a poll to the group. What's the most important aspect of steelhead management or fisheries management that you think our managers are missing the mark on? Whether it be commercial gillnets in the LCR, whether it be these gene banks, whether it be the possible bait versus no bait restrictions on the rivers. Do you think it's habitat restoration? What are hatchery releases? Hatchery smolts going to the safe areas. What do you Lucas, think? What is the most important thing to the grass? Because unfortunately now, we get, you've gotten the messages as well as I have gotten them. We've gotten the conversations. Basically, when are we going to try to fire this thing up politically? I mean, what battles do we want to take? Our addicts group, we probably own the youngest, probably core group of anglers. A lot of guys just getting into the sport, trying to figure out which way they should go. We want to give back to the sport. We want to continue to have this.
Absolutely.
I mean, and so like we need to really start kind of piecing it together, whether it's, no organization out there, and I mean, I'm going to say none of them can ever get 100% of the sport anglers back behind them. But we need to find that. It's almost kind of like...
It was promising to hear from him, though, how he said that the NSIA and the CCA and them were all meeting together and collaborating, basically saying that Washington gives in on that gillnet thing, it is on.
Oh, and it should be on. But you know what? The Northwest Steelheaders shouldn't have backed the Kitsopper plan in the first place 4 years ago. And I almost brought that up. That's what I was joking about with Mr. Herman about. I almost brought that up. I go, I wonder if I should ask him that, Cody. He's just like, don't do it, dude. But that was 4 years ago, and obviously things have changed.
It was a different. He's like he's only been in it a couple years now.
And that's totally fair. I mean, the things, like I said, it's ever evolving, it's ever changing, and all that good stuff, and it probably wasn't the right venue to call him to the carpet.
He made sure
to
mention that when I called him on the hatchery versus wild thing. Well, that was the other president of the association that organized
that. Fair enough. But it is good to hear that,
point wasn't that failed. My point was they need to look at groups like us, look at groups like these people that are doing these things online, and they need to say, how can we get involved with those? They need to organize events that gets anglers involved, not just come once a month and sit down with 30 guys that are 75 years old and listen to some guide talk with a slur about how to fish for sturgeon that
you can't even. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But
did you catch what I was talking about?
Absolutely. But their problem is though, there is one. A lot of guys though are drawn, I think, to the addicts group because we're not political.
Absolutely.
We're about the fish, so it's kind of like I don't know. I think we're gonna have to kind of walk a fine line. I mean, just knowing my history from kind of when I worked for the state for 7 years, I mean, I did a lot of commercial observation. I was even part of the project that implemented the tangle net, the Chinook tangle net, quote unquote, steelhead gill net on the lower Columbia River, many, many years, early 2000s. And there's a lot of stuff there that just, I mean, bottom line is our wild steelheads should not be the sacrificial lamb so we can let some commercial gill netters in the lower Columbia keep five more hatchery spring Chinook. Shouldn't be
Absolutely.
Happening, especially with NFSW, all these guys, all these native things going
especially
after our
when
numbers
we can't
down.
Fish the rivers then. They close all the rivers on us and then they let them gillnet all the fish out.
Yeah, and I mean, that's for podcast number two. We'll see what Washington and stuff goes on. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there and a lot of stuff that I haven't said and a lot of stuff that I've kept quiet about. I mean, it's good, like you said, it's good to hear this coming together. We get asked this a lot. Do we want to become a political entity? If we do, what meetings, where can we best be, where we can best utilize our reach to go after? What meetings should we be doing? What should we, who should we be talking to? Who should we be trying to blow up? What should we be trying to draw attention to? What's the group feel?
Yeah, and we can at least, you know, open up the conversation on certain issues, you know.
And make people aware. Remember that logging thing that guy told on our local stream? Remember he used his own money. He went and used his own money to sue a logging company that was going to log like a huge portion of the upper reaches of our local river. And he went and used his own money and sued him and shut down the logging operation.
Yeah.
Why aren't these groups doing that? I mean, you can't, just like Cody was explaining, what's going to keep a river colder? Clear cut it or with all the trees? Well, obviously all the trees. Yeah. So if you do that at the headwaters,
but
you
that's a
ruin
fine line
the
because there's a lot of fishermen that are going to be like pro logging, and there is some science.
Pro logging is absolutely okay, but you cannot. There needs to be guidelines of how close you can log the river.
Yeah.
If you go up to our buffers. Upper streams, there is not. Go up to Tarbell and look at how close they log.
Yeah.
Go look at it.
That river I went to this weekend.
Yeah, that thing is cut down to the bank.
It's insane. And how much the river changed from last season to this season?
And then what people don't understand, they log it. Not only do they log it, then they spray thousands of gallons of pesticides all over the clear cut that just goes right down in the river.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, though, there's been studies, you know, that I guarantee that that would be for and against this kind of stuff. But the question is, you know, which way does the Addicts group feel about it? Because I guarantee you, we've got a lot of loggers. We've got a lot of fishermen in there.
Yeah. And I'm not against logging. I love loggers.
Maybe that's not something. And maybe, I don't either. I mean, it's
best
renewable resource.
Yeah, we
right?
need to log. I just think it needs to be managed better. And I think that's what a lot of the stuff, you know, everyone's always talking about reform. That's what we need it, but it just doesn't ever happen. It seems.
Yeah. Well, and there's no set blanket statement for any one of, you know, any one river. Every river, you know, can have a different solution.
I don't know if you guys saw what the proposal was that they just put out, where they're eliminating all the Chambers Creek stock. Did you see that?
That doesn't surprise me, but go on.
Then they're using, guess what they're using for Southwest Washington rivers now? The river that you floated today.
Yeah,
that's they're going to use all the genetics from that to stock some of these other rivers.
It's funny though because go ahead.
But regardless, it's you haven't seen them do something like that for 55 years or however long. How long have they been using those fish?
Oh, good question. You got me.
Okay, so it's cool to see them finally like maybe we should change this.
Yeah, but you know it's funny though. We talked to that hatchery manager down on one of that coastal stream that we like to play with a lot, and you know he was a big proponent for Chambers Creek. You know, Chambers Creek, they show up early, they do their thing, and they get kicked out, and the idea is that there would be no cross contamination between
make sense. Broodstock your river, then you have
I completely agree with that, but I'm saying, but the theory for 50 whatever years was that those fish are going to show up early, do their thing, and disappear.
Just like the theory is that a fish isn't going to go all the way up to the falls of the Klickitat and then turn around and come back down and go spawn up the Deschutes.
Oh, no, winter steelheader. Like, yeah, no, that was, you're talking about a story in the convention?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
The one that I killed.
That's what I'm saying, though. They come up with these analyses and these assumptions, and that's literally what they are, is assumptions. They don't know what a steelhead's going to do.
Fish do what they damn well please. Exactly. Don't hold me to this, but I think the highest percentage straying fish that we have, Andromeda's fish, that in our region is a winter steelhead.
Yeah.
Like, I do believe, I don't know where I read that.
I think
that.
I've been told that
don't
too,
that.
And that's why
they... Send me a nasty message if I'm wrong, whatever.
Well, I think I've been told that too, and that's why someone told me why we have them in every single stream, because they've naturally done that.
Well, I mean, they came back to the Tootle after it blew out.
Exactly.
From a giant volcano.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so I'm just saying, they get around, they do their thing.
All facts.
Yeah, so we need to get political. We need to figure out. I mean, maybe it's just, you know, habitat restorations. Maybe it's just youth groups, youth fishing contests, something like that. Or maybe we need to jump in all, you know, feet first and start meeting with some of these guys at the CCA. I mean, we have a good relationship with the guys at CCA. We've got a good relationship, I believe, with the guys at Northwest Steelheaders. I like to participate in the NSIA, you know, derbies and stuff up and down the Columbia River. Yep. I mean, I think it's...
Just get involved.
I think the way we could get involved is we could really get anglers excited about going and doing that stuff.
But anglers as a whole, and I call them I don't know if I can, I'm going to say it. I call them dock bitchers. It's the guys that stand on the dock and they bitch about whatever else there is, but they will not do a dang thing about it because,
yeah,
because they'll believe 90%.
I call them keyboard warriors.
Keyboard warriors too. But we'll get into that in a minute. but you got these guys and they will go with a group to 90% of what that group is for, except for there'll be one thing, mm-hmm. one 5% thing that group does not, that he doesn't agree with the group, and then it's all to hell with them. I don't want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah.
They're not going to get my $25. But the reality is, let's really get political. Look at our freaking awesome presidential race this year. I don't think anybody could have agreed with Trump 100% or Clinton for 100% of what they said.
No,
they're not. But you still had to kind of like, okay, this is where you're going to go. This is what we're going to do. And then maybe work at that within. And you know, the addicts group, I think that if we joined for Hillary, that's cool, bro.
Just kidding.
Regardless of who you voted for, I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can walk with somebody so far, mm-hmm. and just realize that the net benefit would be better. There might be something that you do not agree. I mean, you know, CCA gets blamed for barbless hooks. The reality is CCA did not take a stance on barbless hooks. They weren't for it. They weren't against it. They took an official no stance on it, and they got smashed for somehow proposing the barbless hook thing. And I mean, it's the
They should have took a stance. They should have said okay, no.
Fair enough. And fair enough. But now you won't believe in anything that CCA does, even though they were also the first group that dropped the initiative to try to ban the LCR nets, which, by the way, are the ones that are using the 4 1/4 inch tangle Chinook net, which is a steelhead gill net, don't forget, on your February and March fish and April fish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so what would you rather have? Barbless hooks or the nets freaking smoking those steelhead?
Barbs.
Okay, fine. Okay, maybe Marlin believes that, but the other 99% in the group might not.
Well,
and the bottom line is you got to be able to reconcile and
the
just
other
say,
thing we need to really get out of the habit of doing too is we need to stop calling us a group. We are not a Facebook group. We entity. Okay. We have Facebook. We have a page. We have a YouTube. We have a website. We have a podcast now. We have a lot of outlets that we use to try to educate, entertain, and inspire anglers. And I just don't want people to think that that's what we are, is just a Facebook group, because it's a bad stigma.
When I referred to group, that is a great place to react with these people, because within that closed group, they can talk and discuss. And that's what I was talking about, doing the polls and trying to kind of start to get the feel for what the group. Or I'll say
just you can just say that the group of anglers that we have that are following us.
Group of anglers that
a group of like anglers.
Yeah. Group of like anglers.
Well, there's a lot of variety, you know, in the group. You know, a lot of gear anglers, a lot of fly anglers, and
absolutely. And did you see the women post?
Yeah,
that was insane, dude. We have a lot of women anglers in there.
Still blowing up. That's probably my favorite post in a really long time.
That's a cool
post. 500 comments or something.
That's awesome.
So a lot of variety. We got to come together on the big issues, ultimately, is what it comes down to. There's going to be a lot of variety issue to issue. But, you know, gear anglers and steelhead anglers as a whole need to come together on a lot of this stuff, because there are other groups that are well-funded and well-organized kind of going against some of, you know, what we're fighting for here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of these groups don't have the pebble mine to freaking raise up funds for. So now they're going after native. Now they're going after our hatchery plants. Yeah.
And we got to remember, there's not a perfect group.
No, there's not a perfect group.
We all get caught up for the one thing. They didn't, you know, take a stance on barbs.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's that 5%, but then people don't want to jump in. And like I said, and if you talk to...
They better give me my barbs back if they let those gill netters come back in
there. And people are saying that, but we want to put a $100 bill on it right now that will not happen?
Guess what? Write me a ticket then, Isabel.
Okay, well then I'll buy your first barb ticket, bro, this year. How about that?
Is that her name, Isabel?
Yeah. You better watch it, buddy. Anyways, don't use barbs, kids. It's not nice. Unless you're on the... Oh, there's a few.
There's a lot of rivers you can use.
You can't. Yeah. But the bottom line is, we gotta kind of formulate that within our like-minded anglers, and the group is a good place to start feeling that out. And you know, we do really need to make that post, because, like I said, it's brought up everywhere, and it always seems to kind of come to a boil right before spring chinook season.
Just
think
if you make
time.
That post, it's just going to turn so negative so quick.
Maybe I should just turn off the comments and just let people pick one, and then that's it.
But then again, you know,
do a poll.
Yeah.
Do a poll just close and the comments. Don't allow comments.
Yep, just here's what we need to do, just to start slowly getting into that. We need to give back, and like I said,
big time.
You know, maybe if it's just running youth competitions and stuff like that too.
We do give back, though. I mean, you have there probably isn't another group of anglers out there that are getting new anglers into the sport, aside from like Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You know, there's that big of a group. I mean, we're concentrating on really trying to get new, young anglers into the sport. And these old bastards, I'll just say it, I don't even care, that are just stuck in their ways, and they're like, God, there's so many new fishermen, and every time I go, I used to be able to sit here in my lawn chair and plunk and not see another soul down on this river. Those times are over. We need young people to get excited about fishing, because guess what? You're about to die. You're getting old.
That's fair. Well, and that's fair. It is the old guard that is definitely, you're right. And with that said, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, they're losing license sales. They are losing license. And then what that's
telling
you... You
know why? Because they waste their marketing budget on Fish Washington. The stupidest investment they've ever done, and I will say it right now, if they want to invest, why didn't they go to a marketing agency that knows how to excite anglers and get... Not excite anglers, but excite people. That website is so stupid. It's old. It's not attracting young anglers. It's attracting...
It's boring as heck.
It's boring, and it's attracting people that... It's not attracting anyone. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak to the numbers or what it's doing for them, but I can say that
in passing. Nobody that I've ever ran into on the river, Columbia, wherever, nobody in the last 12 years I've heard, they went, oh yeah, cool. They talk in passing, talking, oh yeah, I've got that information off the Fish Washington. I mean, I've never heard one. I've never read one little blip about it on any kind of social media or anything like that. Or even, it's a non-existent.
And I'm just saying, just need to think differently and change the way they're trying to market to these anglers.
And truth be told, we've lost a lot of fisheries. I mean, we've gained a lot of fisheries though too. Everybody likes to play this little doom and gloom stuff. And at the reality of the situation, we didn't fish Columbia River Springers past March 15th. I don't even know. Sometime in early March before the year 2000.
I think March 15th was always the day.
Yeah. And then you had to fish the little sand island, Multnomah Channel bubble. Like, you know, there's a whole spring Chinook fishery. Summer Chinook, you never even fished till I think 2006.
Sockeye
wasn't even a thing until 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a lot of good things that are actually happening, a lot of good opportunity to get a lot of anglers excited, but yet, the license sales are those times.
I will say, they do make efforts with the young anglers with these trout stockings and stuff that they're doing. Those are huge and important. I love that they do that on like Black Friday. And that definitely because those trout, you know, that's where you can really go get a kid excited about fishing because he goes and catches 20 of them.
Exactly.
You know?
They have the success. They get hooked.
Exactly.
But that's why, you know, steelhead and salmon wise, we got to have the variety. You know, if you have a river with a dam, you know, or, you know, places where hatchery opportunity is available, you know, why not go a little more, you know, crazy with that if possible?
Oh, exactly. Why not?
Put a million smolt in that river? 2 million.
Money. Yeah, why not? It comes down to.
Why not?
Well, I mean, it's interesting to see where they're. It's interesting to see where they're going. But we need that participation. At the end of the day, if we don't have that participation, we are a dying breed. There's a lot of new anglers that are being recruited to the sport, and we seem to see a lot of those new anglers really involved in winter steelhead because, truth be told, out of everything we do, you don't need a $100,000 boat to run 30 miles offshore. You don't need a $40,000 boat to go get pounded out at buoy 10 in the Columbia. You know, you can grab your truck, you can grab your rod, you can go target these winter steelhead. And so that's why I think winter steelhead in a whole attracts a lot of these younger anglers. But
I mean, you could be into it for $100, everything you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, though, but we got to get those anglers motivated into a voice because, like I said, we are losing in the lawsuits, we're losing in our hatchery plantings, we are losing in license, the amount of people that are fishing. And like I said, if it keeps going downhill, there's not going to be a reason to stock hatchery fish anymore.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what people don't realize.
In February, 8 to 12 on the Portland Sportsman Show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that is 8 to 12.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We were trying to figure out that date.
I said 9 to 13th earlier, but yeah.
8 through the 12th. So what do we got going on there? That's a good segue to go right into that. Yeah. So we got four booths.
It'll be myself in one booth, and then it will be TJ Hester, who's going to kind of join us from the east side, I believe. Tentatively speaking. And then we've got a couple booths just for attic stuff. And one big thing that I've been pushing with a lot of the guys that support me and support my guide service and support attics as a whole too, we're going to make sure that we've got anything new, anything exciting, anything that's going to be released that year, we're going to make sure that those manufacturers have it in our dang booth.
Yeah. Any of our product partners that we're working with, we're going to try to get those new products in our booth. So you guys can come check them out.
And a lot of apparel.
And we will have a lot of new apparel. So come see us.
You've been kind of lagging on that, buddy.
That was a lot of fun last year, meeting all you guys and taking pictures with everyone. So I hopefully we can see a lot of you anglers come back. And you, even if you don't buy anything, just come say hi. Come meet us. Come shake our hands. We want to meet you. So
you will be selling your scents there?
Bob's Sporting Goods is going to be right across the way from us. And, you know, all the other retailers are now carrying the scents now, too. So you'll be able to get them at Fisherman's, I'm sure, and Sportsman's and Dick's.
It depends on what the
fish field and blah, blah, blah. But Bob's is going to be right across the way from us. So we're going to be firing everyone over to Bob's.
And Bob's is awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Oh, no question. But it also depends on, too, if those retailers, you know, they have to basically bring their whole store to a limited space. So they might not. But
exactly.
The retailer will be darn sure that Bob's will have our scent
exactly
in there for sure. So that is the only guarantee that I could offer you.
Yeah, because we don't know what the other retailers
bring to
the
store. Exactly, yeah, we don't know. I mean, not that they could or wouldn't, or if they wanted to give us a call. So if maybe Bob's runs out or somebody, we can send them this way. But we'll check it out for you guys. We'll have it all scoped out.
Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Cameron, that was a busy 5 days last year. Holy
smokes. Are you doing any seminars?
I am not.
I thought you were doing a Kokanee one.
Not to my knowledge.
Oh.
I would rather, and truth be told, like we do so many kind of in the localized areas and stuff like that, and on the live feeds and stuff. I would rather stay in that booth all day because it seems like every time that I step out of that booth,
someone comes.
5 seconds. Yep. I've got three other people that I missed, and then I'm playing catch up and stuff like that. So honestly, I want to be there in the booth. I like, you know, I've got hundreds, you know, of clients that end up going to that show that I want to meet, and I just want to sit there and talk with, shake hands with, stuff like that. And I mean, you know,
dude, yeah, we got to make our booth sick. We got to make that thing.
Oh, we're going to have, man.
We're going to have a bunch of rods rigged up, a ton of rods rigged up with all the different things that we fish throughout the year. We'll try to have a crappie rod. We'll have a trout rod. Let's just get it all out there so everyone can see all the different setups that you can take advantage of in the Northwest.
Well, not to mention, too, I think we're at least going to have two TV screens, maybe up to three or four. And
we'll have a bunch of cool videos playing. And
nice.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. Clothing for sale, stuff like that. And see, that's the
other thing. We're also going to have a couple of our products for sale that we're putting out. So
yeah. And the other thing is, too, is like when you go back to the seminars, too, I mean, you know, last year, a huge draw to our booth was we had 20 to 25 different setups. Guys would walk up, man, I really want to get into that Pro Troll Super Bait, or I want to get into this, you know, this or that. And we'd have those setups there. And so we're doing quick one-off seminars right there on the spot, getting guys dialed in, telling them where they can grab these products, getting them excited about the fisheries.
And then sending them right across the way to Boss to buy their stuff.
Sending them right wherever we needed to send them to get what. And some of those other manufacturers were selling their tackle there too.
Yeah.
So like if Bob's didn't have it, the manufacturer, I mean, it's just a great place. Obviously, guys go there to spend some bucks. So, I mean, yeah, we had lots of rod samples and good stuff there. And stickers and information for the addicted stuff as well.
This year, guys, I'll make sure I have more than a couple stickers. I'll make sure that we have a lot of stickers.
You had like 300 stickers and they were gone. We need to get
that vinyl cutter going.
No. What's this Wii stuff?
Marlon, you need to get that.
Marlon, you need to get this. Yeah.
Dude, can Tammy help me set that thing up?
Ask her. I have no idea.
Yeah. Everybody, if there's no stickers at the Sportsman Show, you all need to blame Marlon Lefevre. Yeah. Just walk up and just knee him right where it counts.
Oh, jeez.
Don't say that.
No. But then also, too, I end up booking a lot of trips at the Sportsman Show. But to be fair.
Yeah, if you're wanting to get prime dates, that's your first place to do it.
Nope. If you want prime dates, you better do it
now.
Before. Because by the time that Sportsman Show comes around, it seems like last year, I walked into that Sportsman Show and I did not have
a date. All right, I need to book the first 2 weeks of February.
For what? That's during the sportsman show.
That's what I'm saying. I need you to work the sportsman show.
It's my booth. What's this week crowd? Like, I'm going to sit in my booth. But either way, I had all...
Dude,
I had
we're going August fishing first. A couple times this year before the show.
Yeah, we've got to.
I always see everyone doing that, you know, and we're sitting in the booth working.
It's a Prime lot of work. February. That's a lot of work.
I remember by the end of last year, Marlon was this grumpy.
Oh, Jerry, are you going to be able to take
The next day, I was in the hospital. I think with your wife got sick, too.
Yep.
Sharon was...
Yep.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Oh, my...
She was hurting.
Dude, somebody... Whoever walked around that freaking show with the plague needs to not show up this year.
Dude, what about Forrest getting Roland Martin... Roland Martin.
Oh, that's right.
Dude, the dollar trick.
Oh, we got the best story. I don't know. Do we have time for this?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, do it.
Man, so last year we had Roland Martin was there for book signings, and I can't remember what book he was selling.
He was hanging out with Justin Wolfe,
but he had a book too that he was signing.
Oh, okay.
But either way, Roland Martin, the legend, Roland Martin. He's down here, and it's about the fourth day.
Yeah.
So we were pretty done with it by then.
Yeah, we were done. At this point, we were just screwing off, throwing beads at everyone.
And so we're playing the old dollar bill attached to the fishing line trick in the aisle. We get a couple kids and, you know, give them the dollar just because we felt bad. So we were having some fun with it. And everyone, all the booths around were kind of watching. And we were just, you know, being our typical jag-off self, just having fun. And Roland Martin comes walking by, and we don't get
If you don't know who Roland Martin is, check him out, just in case there's someone listening to this that might not know. He's a bass fishing legend.
Go to YouTube.
He's a fishing legend. Anyway, so he's probably the big dog at the whole Portland Sports Show. Anyway, he comes walking by, and we try to set it up, and we miss it. We're like, oh, we missed our chance to get Roland Martin on the dollar bill trick. Well, lo and behold, Forrest and I think Lonnie was still in the booth. There's three of us in the booth, and Roland starts coming walking down the aisle again, and we have it set this time. And we're like, oh, we are going to get him. So I pull out my phone, and I start recording. And I'm like, and I'm kind of back in the booth a little bit, pretending like I'm looking at my phone. Oh, no, I'm getting video of this guy. We're going to get him. And he comes down, and he's got his wallet open even, and he walks by the dollar and doesn't see it. And I'm like, damn it. And I take my phone, I turn it off. I set it down, and just then, Forrest, knowing how much of a smartass that kid is, and
he pulled the old Marlin trick.
He goes, oh, sir, you dropped something back there. So Roland Marlin turns.
He had his wallet out too, so it was perfect.
He turns around, and of course, I turned off my phone, and I think Lonnie was beside himself. He's like, oh, and Roland dives for the dollar. He gets him. Of course, everybody. I mean, there wasn't a dude in that aisle. And there was nobody in the aisle because it was right at closing or something like that. It was pretty late in the day. And I mean, just smoked him. I mean, got him hook, line, and sinker. He's going for the dollar, ripped it. Forrest is in tears. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's gonna like send out the fishing gods on us or something and burn our booth down or something. But
you know you're good when you catch Roland Martin.
Yeah, we caught Roland
Martin. A lot of respect for Forrest
And I'll give Forrest some credit on that because he smoked him. But anyways, but then Roland came by, we felt bad, so he came by the booth the next day.
We gave him a t-shirt,
a hat and stuff like that, got some pictures with
him.
We gave
a couple other people their t-shirts too.
Yeah, so we got to chat with him a little bit and stuff like that. He was a good sport.
He didn't catch my joke.
He was a really good sport.
At the booth down the way, we gave a couple t-shirts away.
At the...
That's an inside joke that someone will get that.
Someone will remember that. There'll be only about five or six guys in the industry that'll remember that. But... yeah, a lot of antics, a lot of shenanigans. You know what? This year, though, I and the thought that came to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago about it. We need to have, I want to have a bunch of kid contests. Like, you know how they have the kid trout pond there? Like, we need to figure out some cool, like, kid contests, prizes, and stuff like that, too. Get them excited. Not just about the trout pond, but just fishing in general.
That'd be a good idea.
We need it. We'll wrap our heads around some ideas and maybe get online.
We should do, like, one of those wheels and let little kids spin it.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fun to like win. We could have little small. That'd be a lot of stuff.
They can win all the stickers.
Maybe we make them do something. Like they got to like make a basket or something to be able to spin the wheel. We could do something. Or maybe they got to cast into something
Oh yeah, we'll just have them right in the aisle, like a crowded Saturday morning, just burning people with a one ouncer right off their head. Now we'll figure something out. It'll be fun. Like I said, it's always a, it's still a pretty good time. Those 5 days go by pretty fast.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, a lot of promotional stuff going on there. Thursday through Sunday, usually?
No, it's Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday. Yeah. So and pretty much every day you're there, you know, you could stop by the Addicted booth and there'll be something going on.
What's the slowest day at the sportsman show?
Probably Thursday.
Yeah, like I think Thursday
and into Friday. It seems
seems like Sunday is pretty slow too.
Yeah,
Sunday morning's busy, but then it wanes really fast. Yeah.
Well, people start packing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like us. Yeah. Even though you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're out of there.
We should give away some tickets this year. You know, because we get them for our booth.
Yeah, we get a lot of tickets with our booth.
Maybe we should give
four guys.
Maybe go check out our check out Fishing Axe Northwest on Facebook and go follow us, and we'll be giving away a couple tickets this year, I think.
Oh yeah, we should be able to get a lot.
Yeah, and if you come into Portland for the Sportsman Show, any other fisheries besides winter steelhead going on February?
Yeah, there'll be some kokanee this year. Hopefully, we don't get some. Well, you know, last year we had. That's another thing I can bitch about too. But last year, you know, we lost all our lakes in Southwest Washington that usually hold kokanee due to some monumental wetter than ever in recorded history months. That, by the way, according to the NOAA long-term predictions, weren't supposed to happen. We were supposed to be warm and dry. That's a whole nother rant. But anyways, yeah, so that kind of blew out. But this year, you know, pending some greater rain than we've ever had in recorded history again. There should be some kokanee going on. There's usually some crappie going on in some of the local lakes. There's some fantastic catch and release sturgeon fishing that are usually
going
on.
That's what I was thinking
about. That time of year, man, when that Columbia starts to get cold, those sturgeon start getting up in the channel and the Willamette. It's a few degrees warmer water, and they just go in there and sit, and they get real active, especially on the rains and stuff like that when the river comes up. Holy
We need to
smoke.
Go do that and film a video.
We do. Mm-hmm. First chance that those rivers are blown out on the weekend, we got to be there.
That'd be fun.
I've said that a few times.
Yeah, we have.
With crappie, too. You just go, nah. That's what you are.
Because usually I go do something cooler, like hunt coyotes or something. Which now I'm going to be getting a 22-250 for Christmas. I'm going to be blasting a lot of coyotes.
We saw one the other day. Took some photos.
That's right. We were laughing. We were driving up to the river to go bobber dogging, and we looked in here in this field was the most giant, majestic, beautiful 200-pound coyote.
You're so stupid. Did I tell you what happened?
We're just laughing because I'm like, Lucas, get a picture and send it to Marlon. Make him jealous. He's going to hate life.
Did I tell you what happened? So Jeff calls me. He's like, dude, he's like, do you have your coyote call in your truck? And I'm at work. It's like 10 a.m. And I'm like, yeah, I got my call and my shotgun actually in my truck. He's like, get over to my house. He's like, I just saw a coyote. And I'm like, nice. So I freaking leave work, haul ass over.
And Jeff is your boss, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Jeff's my boss. So I leave work, haul ass over to his house, roll up. We get all dressed. We have like these little white blankets we put on because it's snow out. So we set the call up in his field, like his little lower field, and we start calling. And I mean, not 2 minutes into calling, sure as hell, I look up and probably like 800 yards out there, he comes running out of this patch of blackberries, like straight for us. And I'm like, here he comes, Jeff, here he comes. And I'm like getting ready, like we're going to whack this thing. We had Jeff's son Hunter with us. He's like two and he was just so excited. Anyway, so, and then all of a sudden, I mean, the thing is like running full and then it just stops. And I'm like, what is going on? And it's like just sitting there like looking around. And so I'm like, I start looking and I let off like a coyote howl to try to get it like to think that it's safe. And I'm like, something is up. So I start like looking down the road. There's two ladies and two kids walking dogs down the road. So he wouldn't cross the road to come up. So then he just started like hunting mice right there and didn't even leave. He didn't come to the call.
You should have taken a shot.
I was so disappointed. Yeah,
right over their head.
I was so disappointed.
How far out did he get there? About 600 yards?
He came out to about 600, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
We're in a shotgun only unit, so there's no way you could even attempt
a
shot.
Oh, yeah. So, and not that you could hit anything outside 100 yards anyways.
I drop stuff now. 250 this year. Blow!
A bang.
Really? I've seen you miss deer at 40. Anyways.
By the way, I went back and looked at that shot.
What was it?
That 80? Was not a clean shot at all. There was so much brush that I was trying to shoot through to kill that deer. Doesn't matter because he's
to fishing
dead and I have his head.
Dude, buck fever. Just like steelhead fever. Just like steelhead fever. Aren't we supposed to be talking about fishing stuff?
That's true. We should probably go back to fishing.
Track.
Lucas, what do we got? What else you want to What else you wanted? Any other input that you got from anglers out there about this podcast and what we might continue to do? Do you have ideas for future episodes? Maybe kind of let some of the, because it's our first one we've done, so let's let some of the people out there know what they can expect in future episodes.
Yeah, for sure. So the podcast is going to go over kind of a number of species. We're probably going to take it, you know, kind of species at a time, what we're talking about. We're going to be having, you know, some call-in guests as well as some in-studio guests. We're going to be talking to some people out in the Great Lakes when it comes to steelhead.
That'll be fun.
I
cannot wait to get out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's
that's going to be cool. That's what we need to do, because we can really get these Northwest anglers excited about
absolutely.
That fishery out there.
Well,
there
I know fish. I want to go out there.
Yeah.
There are our fish. Those are our fish.
Yeah. Well, the strains, yeah, they're imported from, you know, West Coast streams out here. And, the fact is the more steelheaders that I talk to, the more that I find that even though there's definitely subtleties to each stream and each area that you're fishing, there's a lot of concepts with steelhead that just are the same, you know, when it river to river, you know, area to area. So it's really
weird that it seems like a lot of them fish different out there, though. It seems like it's predominantly pin rods.
Yeah, that's very popular.
That would be the case. Yeah. It's predominantly pin rods out there.
But there's a lot
of spinning. They fish a lot of smaller stuff, it seems like. They fish
small
really,
jigs.
Really, really small jigs.
Yep.
Very, very small clusters of bait.
But, you know,
I want to go out there with a pink worm.
Absolutely. And, you know, talking to...
Shocking.
Talking to, you know, a couple different anglers out there, they do... If you do take some of these West Coast tactics, some of the newer ones, whether it be bobber dogging or pink worms, they do have their place out there.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's just interesting to see, you know, steelhead in different areas. I mean, you look at some of the video of steelhead in Kamchatka, and they look like, you know, beautiful wild specimens that could be from, you know, the Washington coast or something.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's the same fish everywhere you go, but it adapts to each stream differently. It's going to have a different food source.
Different and, genetic.
Yep, absolutely.
We have got to go fish out there.
Just like when we go to Canada.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, giants.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to hook 15, 20 pounders in the first float we do.
And not land a one.
Yep.
Land every single one.
And cry and weep openly.
I will, too.
So let's talk about just a couple of, you know, different ways to find fishing addicts, whatever technology you're on. So we, you know, first of all,
well, you're on too, Lucas. You're a part of Fishing Addicts. If you guys don't know, I brought Lucas on. I actually helped Lucas catch his very first steelhead.
This is true. Aww.
This is a fun story right here. So let me tell you how I first met Lucas. I used to be a little wannabe white rapper. A lot of you guys might not know that. A lot of you guys might
used
not
to be.
A lot
used
of you guys
used
might
to
not
be.
Okay. Okay. A lot of you guys might not know that, but I used to dabble in a little bit of rap music. Anyway, so one night I'm at a bar, just getting drunk, getting twisted, and I'm sitting there and I hear like this dude singing. And this sounds gay, but I'm like, I turn to my buddy and I'm like, man, that guy's voice is like insane. Like that dude's like an incredible singer. I've never heard anyone like doing karaoke that's that good. And he was singing Georgia. And
Ray
like,
Charles. Yeah.
Yeah, sing it. Give us a little
Georgia. Georgia.
See, isn't that
the whole day through? Yeah.
Damn. See, you guys, tell me you guys didn't just get goosebumps.
Well, no, but let's okay, think of the audience that we were comparing.
Okay. There's a lot of drunk people.
Yeah, there was a lot of bad performers, so the bar was set pretty low. I liked
true,
it.
True, true. Anyway, so I go up to him, and I have one of my Fishing Addict cards, right? And he's probably like, I give it to him, I'm like, dude, hey, man, you should come hang out. Like, I got like a little booth.
Oh, good. Another one of these rappers from Battle. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a booth in my house and stuff. And
you
so
check it out.
Come check it out. Well, you know, months go by and he never hits me up. And so I didn't even think anything of it. Well, then like I get this message. He's like, hey, man, I've been trying to like catch steel. Like, I've been really getting into fishing, like catch steelhead and stuff. So, and I saw you like are into steelhead fishing and stuff. And he like used that as a segue to be like, dude, if you still want to like record and stuff, like I'll come like record at your house. Basically, yeah. He was wanting to come hang out so then he could try to steelhead fish with me.
Yes, it's true. And, you know, use my musical chorus making skills.
Exactly. So we came over, we filmed some rap videos, but regardless, long story short, I went up, took him, he got his first steelhead.
No, that was actually a pretty crazy night, actually. Marlon basically just called me and was like, hey, if you want to catch a steelhead, come now. And I was like, okay. And he picked me up from work and I jumped in the car and literally the first hole that we rolled up to, he has, you know, I've been fishing all these little bass rods and stuff and he's got these long float rods and we're fishing this little area, but it's like, you know, rising water. And he's like, all right, they're going to be here. And first cast, my float goes down in like 5 feet. And I'm like, what in the world? Like, I never, never,
is that?
Yeah, I've never hooked a steelhead. I'd been out, you know, throwing spinners and stuff like that. And I'd caught some salmon and stuff like that, but I just thought they were really elusive, and boom, first cast, you just knew exactly where they were. Well, I ended up, you know, miffing that fish, but then we moved down to another rock and I hooked one, and not a big summer steelhead.
Well, what's funny, get to the story though. So we do the same thing. I roll up and I'm like, dude, they're going to be like right here on this inside, right?
Yep.
So he's casting nothing. And then he just like flings one out into the middle in like the current.
Yeah.
And it goes like 2 feet and drains as bobber goes under. It was amazing.
Yeah. And that was a beautiful fish.
But anyway, long story short, we became pretty good friends and we started kind of chatting and fishing a lot together. And then he started kind of getting excited about Fishing Addicts and helping me a lot. And that's where the evolution really started to happen with Fishing Addicts, where we really started to take things to a next level. We started working on a new website. We started really focusing on let's make this less about us, because fishing shouldn't be about us. Let's make it more about the anglers out there that we want to help and educate. And I'll just say it. When I first started Fishing Addicts, there's a lot of people that hated us, and I can understand why. Because I was going out there glorifying myself as like this badass fisherman when I had only steelhead fished for a couple years. I wasn't some great angler.
What was your call sign?
What do you mean?
Like, you had like Phil the Swing.
Oh, yeah.
The Swinger.
Yeah, we had these stupid,
I couldn't remember what yours.
Dumb names. I think mine was like Snapper Rod Marlin or something. Yeah. I used to
very appropriate.
I used to always break fishing poles or whatever. But regardless, Lucas came in and he really like...
Well, we just expanded the online footprint. Yeah, we expanded what we're doing.
But more than anything, he showed me how to like just change what I was doing. He gave me like a different perspective on what I was doing. Then when we brought Cameron on board, was probably a couple years after that. No, probably only a year after that, right?
Yeah, a year or two, year and a half.
I don't know. Yeah. It wasn't that long, but that, when we brought Cameron on board, then it really like solidified us.
Yeah.
It got us the, at this point we had a big following. We had a lot of people that loved what we do, but we didn't have respect from those industry people. We didn't have respect.
You still don't, just for the record.
Oh, absolutely we do. Absolutely.
It's bringing me on board to not do anything like that at all.
But now you got Cameron and his mother are a fan of Fishing Addicts.
That funny story there. We have a little secret group that somehow I joined my mom into. I don't know how it happened, but I did it.
Yeah.
Has she recovered?
I mean, do we have...
But regardless,
that's
kind of the evolution. I don't even know what happened or why I went that direction, but I just wanted to know how you came on board with Fishing Addicts.
And it just kind of comes down to, you know, we enjoy fishing. We love sharing our fishing experiences, but ultimately the Fishing Addicts, you know, group and kind of mission is to, you know, bring some unity to anglers, talk techniques, and basically just create a more positive future for the fishery itself, bring in youth into the sport and having ethics, you know, with our fisheries.
Ethics. So, do you want to hear the story about how I got involved with Fishing Addicts Northwest?
you guys want to know how we met
this
Cameron?
This is exactly how I met Marlon and Lonnie. And I was out fishing in one of my usual haunts and one of my usual seam lines I liked on the Columbia River.
Wobbler fishing.
And I just...
We watched him smash them.
I mean, just, it's my little tiny spot. I get out there at 3 o'clock in the morning. And if you're in that two boat lane, everybody else around you might as well bring some popcorn, because they're going to watch the show. Like, that is where those fish run. Anyways, had it dialed, had a bunch of clients, whack-a-mole them. And good times. You guys anchored next to us. You guys got fish too?
Yeah, we got a few fish.
Yeah, a few fish too. And chatted back and forth a little bit. Got our fish, got out, set our merry ways. See you later. So the next morning, I go down there. I'm like, okay, get home, get to bed early, wake up at like 2 o'clock. So I'm like, okay.
I know where this is going.
I'm like, okay, better go get my spot, the spot that I've sat in for years and years and years and never really have a problem.
Hey, this was Lonnie's idea, not mine.
With any of the local guys, you know, that I always fish around. Actually, it was my home. It's like my home. I live like a mile from the ramp. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get out there early. And I see this truck in the parking lot. I'm like, what? And no way.
Here we go.
Sure as shit. I go out there and there they are. Boop! Right. I mean, they couldn't have been on my GPS points any freaking time. I'm like, oh, God. I got to anchor next to these guys all day. But yeah, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. They wanted to beat me and you guys did. But I think we all caught fish.
Yeah, we all caught fish again that day. It was a fun day. But regardless, we exchanged numbers. We started kind of chatting. And then we
basically wanted to know,
times.
Like, hey, just let me know next time you're just going to cork me out of the where I like to fish so that I just
go somewhere else.
Yeah, so ethics. Yeah, right.
But who else is in? Who else is kind of in Fishing X? Jerry, explain how you kind of got involved in what we're doing.
I met you what, a couple years ago.
A couple years ago with Matt.
From our buddy Matt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just been buddies since then.
So me and Jerry are just pretty good buddies, and he's nice enough to just kind of come and help out. He helps out with the live feeds, yeah. And we're all just kind of fishing buddies, and that's kind of how all this started. And so there's Jerry, there's Josh Handy, there's Lucas Holmgren. Josh Handy runs our Instagram account. You know, we got Lonnie, who's kind of like our promotional guy. He's out there fishing all the time, so he gets us a lot of good content. And Lonnie originally helped me start Fishing Addicts way back in the day, so he's kind of been in from the beginning. Rob has also been in from the beginning, making a lot of our first videos.
Steelhead edits.
Yep, all of our Steelhead edits. Yep. Cody has been in from the beginning. He used to be kind of like our fly guy, but then he moved to California for a few years. Now he's back, so we've been trying to kind of get him involved again.
Sean Keller.
Yep, Sean Keller's been in from the beginning also, just gathering content, just being a buddy, good fisherman.
You know, everyone, they're just friends.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's not like, you know, a lot of people view this as like this like hard-lined business and stuff like that. Yeah. But the reality is, it's just kind of like everybody, just our core group of guys just kind of pitch in and just whenever we can get content, whenever we can put our feelers out there, like we need to go and do something or want to do something or just to get something cool to look at and to do and to promote the sport and all that good stuff.
You know, and
these are all the guys we lean on.
Everyone's at different levels of fishermen too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fact. Everyone has Marlon's still just a float fisherman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I know how to do.
Yeah, that's all he knows.
We're teaching Marlon.
One trick pony.
But I will tell you, in the last four to 6 years, I think I've caught more steelhead and probably bigger steelhead than anyone in this room, probably anyone in Fishing Addicts in general. So, you know, we'll just leave it at that. We might as well just drop my – I would drop my mic if I could, but I can't.
Walk out. I'm done.
That mic's too expensive.
Now that's true. How much is this mic?
It's more. More than your life.
More than my life.
When did Fishing Addicts like really start? What year?
So 2008 is when I bought
the forum?
No, 2009 it says on the established t-shirt. Oh,
2008 is when I bought the domain name, and I forgot an imperative part of all this is my buddy Josh Manfredi. He built the very first original Fishing Addicts website. He didn't know anything about fishing, just a really good buddy of mine. I told him my passion. He knew how to build websites. He taught me how to manage it, and that's how the first one was made. So I bought the domain in 2008. I had the website launched in 2009. And then by 2011, it was nothing like what I even started in 2009.
What about
now? Morphed huge, and now it's nothing like it was in 2011. Yeah.
Just in the last couple of years, it's grown since I've been.
It's grown. Not only has it grown, it's progressed into something completely different, something better, a lot better in my opinion. And I'm excited that I think 2017 is going to be an awesome year for us.
No, there's no question. 2017, just with the stuff that we've got lined up and stuff that I know we can't even talk about right now. But 2017 is going to be a big one for Fishing Addicts.
Yeah, there's a ton in the information and education portion. I mean, when it comes to seminars, we got live feeds on Facebook that you can watch, Facebook Live.
And
by the way, of course.
Yeah, and we're working on making that more. A lot more dialed in, too. Yeah, I've been doing tons of research today. I don't know if I sent you another email on some stuff on that.
Great.
So.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't realize how much work you guys put in all day, every day.
Absolutely. It's mind-blowing. It takes literally probably all 10 of us that are admins alone just to manage that group.
Yeah.
That doesn't include what we're doing with the page and the videos and...
Products and product partners and live feeds and answering back emails and questions on guided trips and
And I get probably 10 to 15 messages a day, just people asking me questions about fishing in general.
Yeah, yep.
And I try to answer every single one of them. So feel free to send us any email that you have or, you know, any message, anything you're wanting to ask about fishing. We have no problem taking
and a great resource is that Facebook group. You go to that, you go on Facebook, you search for the Fishing Addicts NW Facebook group, and you enter that and you ask, you know, questions on fishing. There's going to be a bunch of fantastic opinions from very educated anglers.
There'll be a bunch of jagoff opinions too.
Oh yeah, there's going to be but you pick through it and you'll definitely find.
And we moderate that group, but we let people also say their piece too.
So here's a cool little story. How much time we got, Lucas? Are we doing good on time?
We're over time. We're good though.
All right, this is an awesome story that we got in the email just a couple days ago. I wanted to share with you guys, and I think maybe we can kind of finish it out after this story.
Perfect.
So basically, I opened up the email, and this is what it says. I'll just read it verbatim. My 9-year-old is an avid steelhead and salmon fisherman. Apple didn't fall far from the tree. He watches your YouTube videos all the time. He has convinced me to travel from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to your neck of the woods. I don't even know where to begin. Obviously, we'll need a guide or two. If you can recommend somebody, that would be much appreciated, which obviously I recommended Cameron, and this guy's going to book a trip with Cameron. Anyway, wow. Also, any special time of the year you'd recommend? Lastly, if anything you guys could get out on the water with us, you'd make a 9-year-old's dream come true. Thanks in advance for whatever advice you could give. So I emailed him back and just said, hey, absolutely, here's Cameron's contact information. Yeah. Let him know that we'd love to come out and fish with the kid.
Yeah.
That's really, really cool. And he said, basically, attaches a pic of a fish Jake caught this year on a fly he tied, and it's like a giant, I mean, it's a monster brown trout. I'm going to post it on the Fishing Addict page tomorrow morning. And he said, basically, thanks for writing us back. Jake thinks you guys are a bunch of rock stars, so he'll be pumped to know that you took the time out of your day to send him a message. Tell the guys that you have made a big impact on a 9-year-old's life in the little town of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
That's really cool.
And I cannot wait to us. So I think what our master plan was to get him out one day in the raft and one day in the sled, and we'll probably get him out at a certain time of year that there's quite a few steelhead hanging around and quite a few big ones hanging around, and I think we're just going to rock it. So I'm looking forward to
that. That's awesome.
So anyway, I got that email today, and it was just really, really cool to see that kind of stuff, and that's why I created Fishing Addicts.
Oh, yeah.
For that right there. That is the reason to share my passion with other anglers and really get people excited about what drives me every single day, and it's fishing.
Yep. Yeah. There's always something to look forward to. You know, kids, it keeps them out of trouble. It really does.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's a good thing to get into. Gets you connected with, you know, the outdoors and learning about our fisheries and our rivers.
Cool.
And like I said, now we have a tool now that with the following, with the not the Facebook group, but the like-minded anglers, now that we actually have something that we can probably use for the betterment of the sport.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So. Well, thanks for listening. For everyone that's listened to this podcast, we really appreciate it. If you haven't checked us out, check us out. FishingAddictsNorthwest.com is our website. Any of the social media platforms, if you just search Fishing Addicts Northwest or Fishing Addicts NW, we're on YouTube, Snapchat,
Instagram,
Facebook,
Twitter.
We're on them all, so just check us out. We try to put different facets of content on each one of the social platforms, so you guys aren't getting flooded with the same information and the same content. So make sure you follow all of them. We really appreciate it. Also, if you heard this podcast, please send us emails on anything you want to hear us talk about or any direction you want to see us go. We're kind of going to just be free-flown with this
and really have fun with it. We touched on a lot of different things today, but I think, you know, later on, you know, we'll be a little more focused on, you know, maybe some steelhead management, or it'll be the sports of the show.
We'll have a little bit more structured things. So.
Yeah, so if you have questions, then just send them directly to fishingaddictsnorthwest@gmail.com. And you can mention your name and whether or not, you know, you wouldn't mind us using your name in the podcast.
And if we don't get back to you, send another message.
Absolutely.
Message.
Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you guys on the water.
See you on the water. Have a good one.